Well, praise the Lord. God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. Usually when somebody gets up to speak a message, they go with the message and partway through it, they run down a rabbit trail. Well, I spent my whole life being different, so I'm going to start with the rabbit trail and get it out of the way. I've worked my whole life, and in my youth I did manual labor. Back on the farm, and also when my uncles had a vegetable farm and an apple orchard, and I worked down there. And I thought I must have been born a dreamer and a businessman because it didn't take me long to follow my dreams. While I was pulling weeds, hoeing corn, and picking vegetables, I saw other people driving tractors. And my heart yearned to drive anything that had a motor or a steering wheel or tires on it. So at the tender age of 13 years, I went out and bought myself a farm tractor. And I spent all winter plowing snow. In the spring, I plowed and harrowed gardens in people's backyards. And then I would hire myself out in the summer to my uncles and their farm markets, plowing gardens, harrowing and cultivating and so on. And in the fall, I'd hire my tractor myself out to them again in their apple orchards. And I also spent a lot of time pruning apple trees with my uncles. They had crews that worked all over New England and New York pruning apple trees for other growers. And in my spare time, I went to high school. And I barely managed to graduate, but I did. After I got out of the United States Air Force, I started my own pruning business called New England Fruit Tree Surgeons. And guess who came to work for me? None other than Rick Blaisdell and Walter Yurasevich. It was a time. We were a crew, and that was before Christ. And then I met Jesus, and I was born again. We fast forward a few years, I switched to what I loved doing most, driving truck. And now, to the main event. Last Sunday, as I sat back there, Rick shared with us a couple of scriptures, and I'm going to start by sharing those same ones. First one is Psalm 37, verses 25 and 26. Do you have that, Angie? I got it. I'm reading it from the New King James. I don't know what translation that is, but
New King James.
Okay. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread. He is ever merciful, lends, and his descendants are blessed. And this, another scripture that Rick shared was Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. There is one who scatters, yet increases more, and there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. As I listened to Rick sharing those scriptures last Sunday, a thought came to me about my financial life over the years, and to my discomfort, if you will, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you should share your story. Well, it's kind of personal, trying to share what I went through in finances, but I pray that it'll be worth it all. It'll bless you, encourage you, and so on. And I want to start with Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Take heed that you do not give your charity deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward for your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. The first thing I want to say is that I have always been very, very careful to practice Matthew 6 and to keep my charitable deeds in secret as much as possible. And with that said, I'm hoping to keep it that way today, and yet at the same time share what Jesus has done in our financial lives over the years. I had a dream. I never desired to be rich, but shortly after I was born again, I looked ahead to the possibility of living to become a senior citizen. If you knew where I was coming from, BC, I never expected to live to see 30 years old. So it was a big deal to say, I wonder if I'll live to be a senior citizen. And if I were blessed to arrive at what some referred to as the golden years, my dream was to arrive there totally out of debt and free from financial bondage. That was my dream. So I looked around to see who had made it. And I looked to see how they had made it. And then I came up with a retirement plan. I had this figured out. I had a retirement plan. I would buy real estate. I already owned a mobile home on a private lot where Marlene and I lived, and we were totally out of debt. So I bought a 3-unit apartment building and a single family home, both at the same time. I jumped right in with both feet with a lot of bank mortgages. We moved into the single family house and converted upstairs into an apartment to rent out, and then later we sold that house and moved into the 3-unit apartment building. And then, with no money and very little experience in well drilling, I started my own well drilling company with Jesus as my partner. When I paid off the mortgage on well drilling, I proceeded to invest my money in real estate, i.e. my retirement plan, because I had this figured out. I bought 4 separate 4-unit apartment buildings. One had been damaged by fire, and I hired Bill Ferrace to restore it for me. I think some of you know who Bill Ferrace is. We also bought the house that we currently live in and a camp on a lake. Needless to say, we owed a lot of money to several banks. And that brings me to a scripture which, Angie, you don't have, because I added it this morning. Proverbs 22, verse 7 says, "The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant or slave to the lender." That, I have to tell you folks, is a forgotten concept in the United States of America. We all borrow, our country's borrowing, but I saw that scripture and I tried to live by it today. I didn't want to be a slum landlord, and I wanted these properties to be in good condition when I retired. So I poured all the money that I made from well drilling into those properties, and it was thousands and thousands of dollars. I fixed those buildings up. Now, in well drilling, one year I got hit with a large tax bill, and I went berserk. While I was berserk about paying such high taxes, I decided that I might as well invest in a new well drilling rig and make the job easier, and it would give me a tax write-off. But you know, it's easy. I'm looking back. I think God was speaking to me, but I wasn't listening. I had 3 successful businessmen, one of whom was Dave Wells, Jesse's grandfather. I had 3 successful businessmen advise me, "Don't get in debt. This housing boom won't last forever. If you don't want to pay high taxes, then just drill fewer wells." Did I listen? No. $425,000 later, I was the proud owner of all new drilling equipment, along with the real estate mortgages. That made me a red ink millionaire, meaning I was in debt to $1 million. 18 months later, the housing boom went bust, and I had no wells to drill. This is a very complicated story, and I'm not going to share the story with you. But God, He took me out of the well drilling business, debt-free, from that $425,000 mortgage, and he did it without bankruptcy. Like I said, it's complicated. And somehow, in that process, we ended up with a mortgage on a house getting paid off. And don't ask me how that worked. To this day, I still ain't figured that one out. I pause here to mention that we did not tithe during all this. Wow, you didn't tithe? We did not tithe because it was difficult to know what amount to tithe on, because I didn't draw a paycheck every Saturday or Friday. So we simply gave as our hearts and the Holy Spirit led us. And that got us audited by the United States government. God does not have a ceiling for charity giving. However, apparently, the government does have a ceiling, as Marlene and I found out. We bought the Springfield Bakery in a building on Main Street. Here I was, a well driller, and I got out of that, so I go in and buy a bakery, of all things. I invested $100,000 of my own money, plus took out a $150,000 mortgage, and I operated that bakery for 9 years. Working nights and double shifts when employees failed to show up, plus losing money, was quite an experience. And as an outdoors person, I was like an eagle in a canary's cage, because I had spent my whole life working outdoors. And working nights in that building, making cookies and donuts. But I will digress for a minute to say, and the bakery, I never complained. Because when I was in the well drilling business, prospering and making money, I fussed and complained to God a lot about a lot of things. And I think God had to teach me a lesson and put me in that bakery, because all I did for 9 years is lose money. Getting there. Well, Mama, where am I? Here I am. So I had a dream and a retirement plan. But God had a different plan. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We lost it all of it. It vanished. Gone. Proverbs 23, verse 5. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. Marley and I sure experienced the truth about that scripture. But along with all that loss was the loss of that $1 million debt and the loss of a whole lot of stress. People used to tell me that I looked like a whole new person once I got out from under all that stress. And I praised God for that. And I vowed never to borrow money again. And I didn't. Through all that loss and heartache, we continued tithes and offerings in secret. And in love from our hearts. Because we wanted to do it. Now God said in Luke 6:38, give and it will be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Marlene and I also experienced the truth of that scripture. We kept our house and the camp we had on the lake, which were both mortgage free. And I went back to my first love, driving truck, for the next 20 years. And stress-free at that. Then came our house fire. Again, God took something bad and turned it into something great in our senior years. We got a new house with all new contents paid for courtesy of the insurance company. After all that, here we are. We find ourselves in our golden years, debt-free with no financial bondage. Just as I had dreamed about. God's plan on how to get there was definitely different than mine, and I praise God that he didn't use my plan. He had a way better plan on how to get there than I did. In fact, I shout, "Thank you, Lord Jesus, for not following my plan." But my point in all this, in closing, we can't outgive God. But I want to emphasize, if we freely give of our time, talent, or money from our heart of love, Scripture says we will get a return. It may not come how we want it. It may not come when we want it, but it will come at the right time because God keeps his promises. Amen. And last but not least, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3. I skipped the middle part of that, but though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, but have not love, it profits me nothing. My point is that if we freely give, and I've got it written and highlighted, if we freely give of our time, talent, and money from a heart of love, God blesses that. Because love is everything. And love isn't love until we give it away. And then it comes with an extra bonus of joy. Amen.